welcome to Can You Get to That? I am one of the two hosts of the program, Matthew Olson. This is one of the two hosts of the program.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Best.
No, you should have just said Caitlin Best in this kind of strained expression I'm doing.
I wanted to ruin your plan. I just wanted to do not what you wanted me to do.
That's fair.
I was just feeling really contrarian.
That's fair. I respect your need for individuality and to carve your own path and to watch the world burn.
Yeah, thank you.
The world is currently burning here in Portland, Oregon. Yeah. And by here, I mean several miles east of here. In fact, the other end of the state, I guess. And then all...
Well, that's what they tell us. But who knows? Who knows where the fire is coming from?
Have I seen the fire with my own eyes? I don't know.
I don't know where it's coming from. Seems like it's pretty close. That's all I have to say. Something to think about.
It is very hazy outside. It smells of smoke. It smells like everyone you know and everyone you don't know in town is having a barbecue simultaneously.
It looks like outside, it looks like an Instagram filter.
Yeah, it looks like an Instagram filter has been laid over the world.
Like a 1978 vibe.
Yeah, all the light is this beautiful
orange. Like your mom's
orange.
Antique camera.
Yeah, and I was just telling you before the podcast that it like reminds me of... Like, the smell reminds me of Spokane, which is a place I went to a lot as a child. So there's, like, we're working with multiple layers of visual and other sensory nostalgia here. But actually, there's just, like, a shit ton of trees on fire east of here.
Just yeah, a shit ton. I mean...
Do you know what kind of trees those are? Because I can tell you this, they smell real good. You should put some of those wood chips on a barbecue fire. To impart some good flavors.
I'm pretty sure all trees smell like that when they burn.
That's
what a campfire smells like. Smells like a campfire.
All trees don't smell equally. That's why people put particular.
I guess I kind of think that's a scam. I kind of don't believe that. I kind of don't believe that. That, like, using apple wood imparts, like, a special apple flavor to your grilled foods.
You think it's a scam. I can tell you to the point which it's almost definitely a scam. In one of my professional capacities, I was looking into...
The charcoal.
Charcoal and stuff for grilling.
Yeah.
Which also leads to looking at, like, you know, peripherally... I'm going to try that word again. Peripherally?
I thought you did good the first time.
Okay, anyway. You end up looking at the wood chips. And sometimes certain brands of charcoal will have wood chips mixed in, so it's like, you know, you just open the bag, whatever. There are Jack Daniel's and Jim Beam branded charcoals,
yeah,
and the wood chips are their oaken barrels.
That's just terrible.
But then it's like the wood and the whiskey is gonna get right.
Are there
up
like
in that
are there
meat.
Reviews? Are there like Amazon reviews where people say, "Yeah, my burger tasted like JD"?
I'm sure there are, but that's gotta be like so much placebo.
Yeah.
Slash, maybe they just douse their burgers in whiskey.
I'm really curious now, though. I kind of want to try that.
Well, wait.
I suppose that's another podcast.
That's another podcast.
The charcoal blind testing. Podcast.
Yeah.
Coming in summer 2016.
Or never.
Well, you know, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but...
By then, we will be part of a very large podcast network.
By then...
If my co-host of my other show has anything to say about it... We were just talking about how she wants to start three new podcasts.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah,
just like,
three?
Okay. Yeah.
With you?
What? No, not with me.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not in any of these.
What if she started three new ones and they were all successful and I branched off and started a charcoal testing podcast and that was successful and we just left you in the dust? How would that make you feel?
Pretty bad. Why are you asking?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
This is right at the top of the show, man. Jeez,
okay.
Wow.
Well, let's
fuck
go. Let's,
you.
Let's you mentioned individuality and carving your own path.
What better way to do that?
What better way to segue into our topic?
With a beloved children's brand, children's targeted brand.
Yeah.
I'm letting you say
I never,
what the
I'm
topic
getting
is.
There. I'm getting there. I never had these folders, but today we're going to be
getting, it's not just folders. It's erasers. It's
a whole
it's pencils.
It's a whole range of products. Wow, that was bad, wasn't it? A beloved range of children's products. Lisa Frank. Sparkly ponies and rainbow cheetahs
in space. Yeah, I didn't have that stuff either, and I'm not saying because of any like perceived like gendering differences in terms of how that stuff was like marketed or commonly you know, was delineated in schools.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really have any kind of flashy folders and binders and stuff. I remember I had a lunchbox.
Yeah.
And it was a Star Wars Episode 1 lunchbox with,
oh,
like,
Jesus Christ.
Young Obi-Wan on
Jesus.
It.
Jesus H. Christ.
It wasn't great. It wasn't.
Did you choose that? Or was that, like, the one that they
probably,
had left?
Probably. I also had a watch when I was a kid that was shaped like a pit droid from the pod race. And you would
Christ.
Press its little pit droid eye,
oh,
and then it would
God.
Flip up and it would show you the time.
Hit the nose!
Yeah.
That was my best Anakin Skywalker, my best boy Anakin impression.
I even had a Jar Jar thing.
A Jar Jar what?
Well, it was
a Jar Jar jar.
It was a flexible, like, bendable frisbee. I'm pretty sure I didn't say at the store, like, let's get that. I think that came with, like, a bucket of KFC or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they, like, put that on top of the bucket of chicken, and it's like, here
That's
you
the
go.
Lid.
Huh?
Are you sure it wasn't just, like, a lid and your parents told you it was a frisbee?
No, because it was made out of rubber.
Okay.
And it had, like Jar Jar's face was in relief. It wasn't just printed on it.
Well, you know, originally frisbee was just a pie pan, so just saying. Just something to think about. Anyway, I never had any Lisa Frank branded products because I had a lot of internalized misogyny. And with that, I'm going to click on random article.
You're not keeping this, like, you're, like...
Not keeping it light?
You put the put-downs on me, and then,
it's
like...
It's the smoke. It's getting to my head.
Yeah, it's
the particulates.
Rough and tumble.
I don't know who this is, or what this is.
It's...
2009 Copa Petrobras Santiago doubles.
So that's tennis,
this is
right?
A tennis...
It's
a specific tennis tournament.
Uh-huh.
In Chile.
What a great start to this path. We can't afford to have this much silence.
Yeah, we just have to, I guess, click on one of these tennis players who I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Or what are these things? These are like win statuses for the matches.
Glossary of tennis terms. Yeah.
I don't know if that's better or worse.
I've never even played tennis.
Really?
Nope.
I used to play. Oh, we can click on all the flags and get to the countries that they represent.
Oh, well, let's
I played it as a kid and I wasn't good at it.
Let's just click through to the good old US of A.
USA?
Yeah.
Okay, Step sounds two. Sounds good. We've been to this page before, right?
Certainly. Back up a minute. What's the extent of your tennis experience?
Well, my mom, like, signed me and my brother up for tennis lessons when I was, like, I don't know, 8.
That seems
ages
bougie.
Ages 8. Oh, yeah, it's bougie. Yeah. You're implying that, like, we wouldn't have done bougie things?
No, I'm just saying that, like, nowadays you'd be, like, tennis lessons.
Yeah, I'm 24 now. I was 8 then.
Okay.
I didn't know what bougie meant.
Okay.
I had no class consciousness at that age.
Really? Really? That didn't get drilled into you first day of kindergarten?
No, I went to a good...
They didn't hand you the Marx reader?
No, I went to a good capitalist school. It was a Montessori school, but it was a good capitalist Montessori school.
Education in Oregon is flagging.
So. Yeah, I mean, they taught us the value of hard work and the free market.
The first day you had to sew bootstraps onto your shoes such that you could pull yourself up by them. Yeah, I had a purely Marxist kindergarten education.
Yeah. They hand you that
the big red
Das Kapital.
Oh, no. The whole Marx Engels reader.
Okay, the whole thing.
The college level readings. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you just sort of, like, page through it, felt the pages.
Mm-hmm.
Tore them out. ate them.
So at your desk
when you spitballs.
Got at your desk when you got there,
yeah,
everybody had $1 sitting on the desk, and it was a test because if you were to take the dollar, that's how they knew you were ready. Out.
You're a capitalist.
You're capitalist scum.
Yeah, then they sent you to my Montessori school.
Yeah. I didn't know what communism was, real talk, until, like, I didn't know vaguely what it was until I was, like, probably 14.
Yeah, I mean, who did?
Well, I was called a communist by my own grandfather.
Like, people in the 50s knew that.
Yeah. Well, maybe like popular American consciousness, yeah. A certain version of that.
Yeah.
My grandfather called me a communist because I didn't like apple pie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's accurate.
That's pretty American. That's pretty US of A.
Yeah. I mean, do communists like apple pie?
I've never asked a communist what their thoughts on apple pie are, but now I'm curious.
Well, I would say I identify as like a socialist, I guess.
Uh huh.
I prefer blueberry pie, so.
Yeah.
If that's any indication. Well,
blueberry is a socialist berry, so.
It's kind of, right, it's like purple.
So no, it's not the same by iconography.
Like strawberry pie?
I don't know.
That's weak, isn't it?
That's pretty weak. It's red. Yeah. It's just a cherry pie.
Cherry pie.
She's my cherry pie is the communist anthem, don't you know? She's my cherry pie. Gonna tear down capitalism with a sweet soup. Yeah. It's kind of rough. Still working on those Weird Al parody lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Need to get on the Dr. Demento show with that one, but it needs a little workshopping first. I was just reminded today that, so fun fact for listeners out there who didn't go to the same school as us. Mm-hmm. So all two of you, our school is the same college that Dr. Demento went to. But just today I was reminded that Dr. Demento was parodied on Mr. Show.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite, if not my favorite, of all time, sketch comedy shows.
Okay, yeah.
And I part of me is tickled by knowing that Bob Odenkirk has played a facsimile of a person I've met in real life. Like, it's just like, I don't know, gave me some...
Haven't you met Bob Odenkirk in real life?
Yes.
So...
But then everything is connected, is what I'm saying. That's probably the source of it, is all things are connected... And I am at the center of all things.
Fuck 6 degrees of Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, you just gotta get
1 degree of Bob
Odenkirk. 1 degree of Bob Odenkirk.
It's a new TV show where you just meet celebrities. You just try to meet celebrities.
Yeah. I noticed that this man with, at the time, kind of a scraggly beard and wearing a hat and ostensibly not trying to be recognized, mm-hmm. but at this very public event put on by Tim and Eric,
mm-hmm.
of all people, was Bob Odenkirk. And being 15 years old, I was like, I'm going to go bother this nice man.
See,
who's a comedy
idol
of mine.
You have a different reaction to meeting famous people, because my reaction is at first, like, extreme excitement, and then I don't know what I would ever say to this person. Like, nothing I could say could possibly be interesting to
call
them.
It hubris or whatever, just, like, overconfidence. But I'm always able to at least muster one thing to say.
Oh, yeah.
To the person I want to meet. Like, I asked, like, I knew for... At that time, they were talking about reviving Mr. Show or something like it with David Cross,
mm-hmm.
And Bob Odenkirk. So I asked him, like, hey, how's that going? And I actually asked the same thing to David Cross the one time I got to talk to him. So, yeah, it's pretty easy.
Did they give the same answer?
Yeah, well, now it's finally happening on Netflix, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, 7 years later, it kept getting held up because 15-year-olds would ask them if it was going to happen, and they would just give up on it.
Yeah.
What's a celebrity you've met that you couldn't say something to? Or better, what's a celebrity that you've met and then you actually said something to them, but you felt like
I've never been able to say anything beyond, like, hi... how are you? I'm well, thank you.
Who? So no, give me.
I've
some
only
names.
Ever met like who? What celebrities have I met? I met.
Didn't you talk to Mallory?
Oh, or do you not very consider briefly, that, like... and she started that conversation.
Okay.
So I don't consider myself to have said anything to her. You but did, although you she didn't did say start, anything. She did start the conversation about my shirt.
There you go.
So. Yeah. Maybe that counts. But when I was a teen, I met the MC from Atmosphere.
Oh shit. What's his name?
In a record store. His real name is Sean, but his MC name is Slug.
Slug. Yeah, god. Yeah. Slug I might be intimidated by, cuz I just like when I listen to Atmosphere, I'm like, man, this guy's real smart. He's real slick.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's like a nice guy. I think he's just like, I follow him on Twitter. He's just like a dad, I think. But
so yeah, you,
when, I didn't know what to say.
You didn't know what to say. You're just like, I actually
we did talk for a second because I was wearing this. This is what has always happened.
Is you wear a shirt?
Is I wear something? No. So I was wearing this brace because at the time I had really bad tendonitis.
Ooh.
From playing guitar wrong.
Uh huh.
And he was like, "What happened to your arm?" And I explained, and then he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." And then he pointed out this guy who he was touring with. He was like, "This is Steph. He plays guitar." And it turns out that this is this other, like, pretty successful rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all shook hands.
Yeah.
And I went on my way.
He went on your way?
Yeah.
I want to hear more of these stories because they're...
I don't think I have any more like that. I saw Jimmy Carter. I was in the same room as Jimmy Carter. Did I tell you about this?
No.
This was, like, a few weeks ago. Me and Marvy and a couple other people were driving through downtown for some reason, and we drove past Powell's. Maybe you were there. We drove past Powell's, and there's a sign that says Jimmy Carter, like, time and date book signing.
Okay, I kind of remember that, but I don't remember you being in the same room.
Right, so I saw that sign, and then I was like, oh, I don't have a job. I could go to that. And so then I went to that, and it was literally just a book signing. He didn't speak. He didn't give a talk. And so I had to buy this book that he wrote to get into the book signing.
Uh-huh.
And I did it, and I waited in line for, like, an hour and a half.
And then he left? And then you get your book signed?
Oh, no. I waited in this very long line. It snaked all the way through the store and all the way around the block. Fortunately, I was in the store the whole time.
Okay.
And I got there, and I was ushered into this room, and they were, like, they marked the page that he was supposed to sign.
Yeah.
And... they were like, okay, he's going to sign your book. You don't hand him the book. You hand the Powell's employee the book. They hand it to him.
Wow.
He signs it. He hands it to another Powell's employee. And then after that, you have like a 5-second window to snap a picture of Jimmy Carter, like...
just of him, but you can't like get a selfie?
Of him. You can't get a selfie. You can't touch
That's
him.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's super weird. But I guess if the line's that long, you gotta do something.
It was a strange experience.
I'll tell you this. So I'm, you know...
But this guy, he's like 90, and he signed people's books for like 3 hours.
You get very good at it, I'm sure.
I bet you get some hand cramps.
Well, yeah. What you should have had is tendonitis in your hand because you were playing guitar wrong, and then Jimmy Carter would have been like, man, my hand hurts. I want to talk to this one.
He would have, like, introduced me to Bruce Springsteen.
The boss is
hey,
just...
Hey, this is my friend Bruce.
He's right there. He plays guitar.
Yeah.
I don't want to navigate off this page yet. I want to just keep having a conversation.
Okay, that's fine. Do you have something to say?
Well, I feel like I'm coming and being like, I met this person and said this thing. I met this person and said this thing. I've not always been smooth in my celebrity.
Oh yeah, I wasn't assuming.
No,
sorry. I keep crushing my seltzer.
Yeah,
can.
You keep ruining the audio, and I have to hear like the double echo of the seltzer crush.
Yeah.
Anyway. Not always smooth in these interactions, and the book signing reminds me. So I have all three of John Hodgman's books, his trilogy of books, signed.
Yeah.
And these were all at separate signing events for when they, like, were released. And his first book has, like, a list of 700 hobo names or whatever in it.
Uh-huh.
And I was really enamored with that part. And I'm, like, in the eighth grade or something at this point.
Yeah.
So I go up to him, and that was back when I wanted to, like, make lots of, like, goofy movies and stuff. And, like, mm-hmm. YouTube was just becoming a thing. Yeah. And if
you,
I had actually...
You were like, I'm going to be YouTube famous,
if I had if I had actually committed, I wouldn't be here recording this fucking podcast right now.
You'd be raking in those YouTube
I'd be down at the fucking creator studio in LA just being like, hey, what's up? It's your boy Matt. Hanging Let me tell you about what's new in the world of video games this week. What? And then it's like, quick cut, like, I played Five Nights at Freddy's 4, and I got my scared out of me. Whoa! And I'd be one of those obnoxious people. So let's be glad that I'm not.
Joey Graceffa would pop in. Final Cut King. Do a special episode for you. That YouTube life.
That YouTube life.
I can't imagine life. I can't imagine you being like that. I don't.
Honestly, if I had tried, I'd probably, you know, and went down that path, I'd probably just be behind the scenes, like, doing post-production videos today.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's could still be cool. Anyway, I asked him, I asked John Hodgman if I was allowed to, if I had his permission to make an adaptation of his, like, fake hobo history.
So as a fan fiction.
No.
A fan video.
Yeah, a fan video.
But I mean, it's
just, it'd be like me and just like, no, because what I wanted it to be was like sort of like a Ken Burns documentary where it would just be like the narration straight from his book or like selected segments of it within like acting or like stage photos running underneath it.
Okay.
Like a documentary version of that.
Okay.
I wouldn't like style fan
like
fiction
new hobos.
Editions on top of it. No. And he was like, oh yeah, that's fine. Like, whatever, that's cool, you're a kid. But then he signs my book saying, like, I will sue you. Because he's really funny. He's a really funny guy. And I was just like, oh my god, I got a funny note in my book. Fast forward to a second book coming out.
Yeah.
He does a signing. I go up to him, and I'm just like, I don't know if you remember I asked this thing, and you wrote that you'll sue. And he's just like, oh, yeah, I mean...
No.
Hey, bygones are bygones, so forth. It's... fine. Sign your book, what's your name, blah, blah, blah. And then he writes, you have been served. and then third book comes out, and there's, I you know, I wish I had the books here so I could tell you what the resolution was, because that's the one I don't remember.
You don't remember.
Wrote. But he did write the resolution to this.
Oh my god.
You
settled out of court, I think is probably what happened, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'll check, next time I'm home, I think they're all on my bookshelf back in my old bedroom, and I can check to see what he wrote in the third one. But that, because the third one, I was like, now it's a bit. And right. I was so nervous having to like re-explain it again and be like, I really hope that he like follows through and completes the bit. But he was a gentleman and he did.
Mm-hmm.
Let's click on something in.
Yeah. So I was thinking that if we went through education.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty good route.
It seems reasonable. In fact, we could do public education. I see a link to the kindergarten. I see first grade.
What do you think the page about first grade says?
Well, it's, you know, it's your first real taste of school.
Yeah.
So I think we should click first grade.
We should click first grade?
Yeah. Step three.
All right. The first grade in elementary school.
It is the first school year. After kindergarten. What was your kindergarten experience like? Was your kindergarten experience actually school? Because I had half day
kindergarten.
Well,
so I went to the Montessori school.
Mm-hmm.
Up until I graduated from college, I was in school from age like two, for literally 20 full years, I was in school.
Uh-huh.
Because I got put in preschool at a super young age. And so I went to the capitalist Montessori school from, you know, ages two to...
The Keynesian.
To five, yeah.
Montessori school.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Alan Greenspan.
Yeah. Brought to you by Nike.
sponsored by Nike.
And,
I saw the ads that Wieden Kennedy did for your capitalist Montessori school, and they were real slick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about them?
No. I'm sorry. I just wanted to get one more goofy jab in there, and I'm sorry I interrupted
your story. So I went to the capitalist Montessori school, and then I went to the public kindergarten, and...
And you were so above it.
Literally, that's what I was going to say. It was like, motherfuckers, I've been in school for like 5 years. You don't know what your colors are. What are you doing? What are you doing? Like, go home. That's what I was thinking to myself.
Wow. You have taken a similar stance when we've been talking about things to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did I...
Well, I mean, so we have a couple years difference in school and stuff. But I only met you, like, immediately after you graduated.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, your stance was, like, more like, you don't even know what hard knocks in real life is.
Yeah.
Like, hey, like, check yourself.
I said that to a lot of people.
But I'm glad to know that you were willing to take that stand and be like, no, I know what's up, and you don't, even when you were six.
Yeah.
Because it kind of explains your practiced tone and your self-assuredness when you do that. Because now you have claim to it. You're just like, I've been in this game for longer than most.
Have I ever told you about the semantics lesson I gave to a classmate in preschool?
No.
So it's funny. There was this boy that I went to preschool with, and then he went to a different elementary school. We didn't see each other until high school. And in high school, when we got to high school, the thing that he remembered about me was this time when we were sitting around in the preschool, and the subject of the famous killer whale Keiko came up. You remember Keiko?
Yep.
And somebody, maybe me, maybe somebody else said, oh, Keiko is so cute. And this guy, Aaron Blanton...
Is he putting him on blast?
No, he's a nice guy. Okay. He's a good guy. He said, Keiko can be cute. Keiko is huge. And I was like, actually, the meaning of the word cute can extend to large animals as well. It doesn't just mean small. Gotcha. And... yeah, then like 10 years later, that was the thing he remembered about me, was the time I corrected him.
And taught him that huge things can be cute, too.
Yeah. I think I really changed his worldview that day. He started looking at whales different. Started looking at elephants different. Dinosaurs.
Yeah, you just fucking blew his six-year-old mind.
Yeah. I like to think it was a formative experience for him.
That also explains a lot.
What, that I like to think that?
That you like to think you had this impact on people in that way? No.
He remembered it.
He did remember it, so you have some evidence to back it up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the first grade.
Yeah.
And where we're going to go from here.
You know, it's funny, I blew my good first grade story already on this show.
You did?
Mrs. Ireland.
Oh, yes. Mrs. Ireland. Hello there, children.
Do your arithmetic, children. My Irish accent, I feel like, has slipped between now and the last time I tried to do it on the show. There's not much on this page. There's mathematics.
It goes over what constitutes the first grade in different countries, which is not how I would have expected this article to be laid out.
Yeah.
But hey, I ain't one to judge Wikipedia. Also, it has a section where it's like, preceded by kindergarten, succeeded by second grade. And it's just like, okay, all right. That doesn't need to be broken out as
a chart.
It doesn't need to be broken out as its own, like, web ring type table.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Let's click on primary education in the United States.
Yeah,
I want
a little more broad.
I want there to be something about the fact that I think more in the U.S. than in other countries, or maybe just more in North America, is this kind of, like, commercialism in the schools thing.
What, like, the...
prevalent.
The school supplies?
Yeah. Branding of school supplies. I just get the sense that, you know, in countries where schooling is, like, thought of as, after a certain point, optional for children, or, like, hard to provide and stuff. It's, like, it's a very privileged thing to get to the point where not only are school supplies a thing, but... you're expected to buy them yourself rather than have them supplied at the schools, and then they're going to have fucking Star Wars on them, and you can, like, you're teaching kids at a young age to embrace these different, like, brands.
I mean, they're learning about the free market, you know?
Yeah.
Those unbranded peachy folders just don't sell.
The invisible hand is guiding them towards Iron Man binders.
Towards Iron Man, towards sparkly space leopards.
Yeah. Primary education in the United States, just to clarify. That's our step four. we didn't talk much at the top of the show about Lisa Frank, other than that we didn't have Lisa Frank. But I remember there was this article written a couple years ago, the expose about all the fucked up shit and like financial like goings on of Lisa Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think about like, obviously there's money in this, but that was their whole thing. Like Lisa Frank wasn't, it wasn't like, oh, here's the never ending story, you know, line of folders and pencils for
Did they do that? Did they like collaborate with other properties like that?
What do you mean?
Like you said, like the never ending story. No.
It wasn't, I'm saying it like, it wasn't like they were just like, there was Lisa Frank other shit.
Yeah.
There wasn't like Lisa Frank media properties to my knowledge that then were trickling down to being this stuff. Their whole business was, we make cool looking school supplies and posters and things that kids can buy.
I'm confused about where you're going with this.
I'm saying it wasn't like they had an established brand, like a TV show or a movie that they're merchandising.
Yeah, no, totally.
Went into it and were just like...
No, and it's just like Lisa Frank, the founder of the company, just like drew that kind of shit. And that's what the whole brand was just like her style of...
Do you think that there was...
fucked up drawing.
Do you think there was an epiphany one day where she was just like out and about and like... an 8-year-old girl like whipped her head around and was like,
she was carrying her portfolio of sketches.
Just carrying a portfolio of sketches on the bus, and then like one falls out and like a little kid is like, oh my god, I want that on my lunchbox.
Yeah.
And then Lisa, like a light bulb above her head, like
before that it hadn't even occurred to her there might be an appeal to children.
I could make, yeah.
She was trying to get gallery shows.
That's the thing now, though, is that we definitely looped around to the point where it's just, like, someone who did vaguely Lisa Frank-esque art, or, like, art as a response to Lisa Frank would get gallery shows.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Easily. Like, yeah. Like that. Can we talk about Dismaland?
I've been trying to avoid learning about it, but you can talk about it.
Okay. Dismaland is the latest project by... everyone's favorite, totally intelligent, always has good points to make that no one else has made before artist, Banksy. Where he just made a fucked up version of Disneyland that's supposed to be like, capitalism.
Yeah, I heard it's really subversive.
Yeah. In the Banksy kind of way, yeah. He's become a self-parody, right? Like, in full. With opening...
Are you meaning, like, intentionally?
No. I don't think he's conscious of how fucking ridiculous he is and then, like, playing in that space.
Yeah.
I don't want to give him enough credit to say that.
Which is sort of... did you see the Banksy movie a few years ago?
No.
So that movie, it's like, seemed like he was pretty self-aware, and like it kind of seemed like he knew what was going on,
that like his fucking,
and
like...
so I kind of suspect that he's completely self-aware and he knows how that it's like dumb and he doesn't care.
You think that because he is like has renown and like can presumably make money off of this
point, he's making tons of money off of this,
yeah, that he just embraces it, yeah, and is just turning out crap.
Yeah, I kind of think so.
Who do you think has more...
Is your heart broken?
No. Because, like, what world do I want to believe in? One where someone as dumb as Banksy, with its, like, little of a fucking prescient, interesting point to make through their art, actually believes in what they're doing, and just continues to make that stuff, and it keeps getting lapped up.
You're right, that's a worse world.
Yeah, or that they're at least aware enough that now they're like, you know, well, I guess, like, I could... fucking make a fucked up version of Disneyland, right? But I think that move itself, like, even if I give him credit, like, I don't think he's like that is like a tweet, that is like a tweet, that's like a joke that someone would make
like
about
a tweet, and he made it real.
That's like a joke someone would make about Banksy.
It
was like
real.
Banksy opens
like
up a fucked
like
up
it sounds like an Onion article,
yeah, Disneyland, but I don't think that he like would be acting on that,
right?
Like,
yeah.
On that notion,
yeah.
Who do you think has more artistic integrity, Lisa Frank or Banksy?
Well, before that expose, I might have said Lisa Frank, but there were some pretty damning things said, if I recall.
If I recall, yeah.
I don't actually remember the details, but it seemed pretty bad. It seemed like she's kind of the Jeff Bezos of the of the school supply space. It's like a really...
And Jeff Bezos is fucking pissed because he wants to be Bezos, the Jeff Bezos of the school supply. Do you think Bezos
modeled himself after her?
After Lisa Frank?
Yeah, after that company.
I wonder, well, how old is Bezos? Would he have been of the right age to have some sick Lisa Frank art?
No, I think he's too old, but... No. You know, maybe he saw them... He was building Amazon, and he looked back at Lisa Frank.
No, it was one of those classic tech fucking stories where Jeff Bezos dropped some acid,
yeah,
and he was walking around, and then he found a discarded Lisa Frank folder, and he was like, wait a minute. E-commerce.
Yeah.
Definitely. Fulfillment centers.
Definitely.
The fire
drone
phone.
Delivery.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait, the fire phone. Oh, wait.
I don't understand that joke.
I think the fire phone is like an abject failure, right?
I don't know.
You know the Kindle Fire?
Yeah.
That thing, that tablet? And then they're like, wait, well, also, we'll compete with Android, like, already, like, good devices by established phone manufacturers and iPhones. And
yeah.
You don't do that. You just don't.
You
don't get in the phone space.
Yeah, you gotta stay out of there. It's too busy. Do we click on elementary school?
It's getting
this
weird.
This is a really short little article.
Yeah.
Like, where are we gonna find school supplies?
Elementary school. Let's click elementary school generally.
They have the same picture.
Wow.
For primary school and elementary school.
Wikipedia, your content is lacking.
Yeah.
What was the name of
your... None of the contributors have children. It's a problem. You doing those burps?
I'm burping. I want to ask you, what was your elementary school named?
Well, there's actually a name change in the middle of when I was there, which the children resisted. But initially...
The children rose up and were like, no!
Well, fucking kids hate change. I mean,
yeah.
People in general hate change. Kids are just like that. It was called...
You just stopped to check your phone in the middle of the podcast and stopped talking.
It was called Fox Hollow, but then partway through they did a rebrand and they named it Charlemagne, who I guess is sort of credited with being the first person to think of public education.
Okay. Was that text important?
Yeah, actually it was.
How important?
Well, I mean, it was somebody telling me about a thing that I asked them to tell me when they were going to do it.
I see so. Alden's name on your phone popping up there.
Yeah.
Alden is, by proxy, interrupting our podcast.
Well, yeah.
I don't like that. My elementary school was called Mark Twain Elementary.
That's a pretty good name.
Is it?
I mean, it could be so much worse. It could be... like Andrew Jackson Elementary School.
Okay, fair. I just feel like I wish that it was a cooler author,
like Chuck Palahniuk.
Chuck Palahniuk Elementary School.
Yeah.
I wish it was that. No, I mean, like, in reality, it's like, who would be cool? Like, Octavia Butler Elementary School.
I would never fucking name a school that. Maybe in Octavia Butler's, like, hometown.
I'd hope that someday that all the elementary schools are named like that. But instead, what we're gonna fucking get is, like, Jonathan Franzen High School and
no,
shit like
no
that.
No way! No way! They're never naming
David
schools
Foster
after
Wallace.
Franzen. No way, dude. No.
High
the,
school.
No, in the techno future, schools are going to be named, like, you know, like, Benson Polytechnic, brought to you by Intel.
Oh, okay, they're all going to
be... They're going to be branded.
No, it's going to... No. It's going to be, like, Neil Stephenson Snow Crash High School, brought to you by NVIDIA. Like... Yeah, that's where we're heading.
We're
heading to Stephen King's The Lawnmower Man.
Brought to you
middle
by
school.
Oculus Rift.
Brought to you by the Oculus Rift. Or they're gonna drop the authors entirely, and it's gonna be like Palmer Luckey High School. Palmer Luckey, for your information, if you don't know,
I don't.
He is the creator of the Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm.
He was recently pictured on the cover of Time magazine. It's a terrible cover.
Yeah.
He's like, it's him with the Rift on. And it's a poorly photoshopped picture of him just jumping.
Yeah.
And then they've, like, photoshopped a beach backdrop behind him. And he's got this, like, you can't see it, but listeners either find this image or imagine, if you will, that he's, like, jumping, but, like, he's got this, like, strange look of awe on his face, and the headset, it looks terrible. Oh. His birth date, September 19th, 1992.
Oh my god, you're kidding.
I am the exact same age as the man who last year had his company bought by Facebook for, like, $2 billion pretty much responsible for what will, I think, look fairly good at this point, save for more Time magazine covers like that, will become our VR future.
Yeah, that feels bad, doesn't it?
It feels real fucking bad.
Well, I mean, at least you're not going to be responsible for, like, the death of half of the human race, you know?
I guess.
That's got to be some consolation.
I guess?
Or would you feel better about yourself if you knew that you had accomplished something that big?
I can't say no to that, right?
Yeah.
Also, because, I mean, we can exaggerate all we want, and then at a certain point, like, just because someone made the VR headset doesn't mean that our VR apocalypse is...
Apocalypse
Rift. Apocalypse. Ooh, that's my look for that headline when people start dying from Rift overuse. When that happens, like, it's not like you can attribute it solely to them. Like, it'll probably be because of some killer app came out, like, literally a killer app.
people just
just because, you know, you made the, like, technology, like, just because someone invented the film camera.
Right, just because someone invented a nuclear bomb, like, doesn't mean...
Yeah,
they're fucking responsible for killing all
those people. Fucking sad boys on the Manhattan Project being like, oh, what have we done? And it's just like, hey, you just made the bomb, okay?
You just made it. You didn't drop it. Calm down.
But in all seriousness, I feel like there's a difference between a VR headset...
and a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
VR headset isn't designed from the get-go to enslave and
people,
kill.
You just tell people that when people stop eating to play Candy Crush 4D.
You think that that's what it's going to be? It's going to be some cash-ass game?
Yeah, totally. It's got to have mass appeal.
But think about how cool it must be to be him right now. And we spent pretty as close as we can get to an equal amount of time on this Earth, on this here planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Also, we're both Valentine's babies. That's one thing I can say. Yeah.
Well,
kind of gross.
Wait, hold on. February.
Oh, sorry. March, I guess not.
April, May.
No, New Year's baby. Sorry, I meant New Year's babies.
I'm a Valentine's baby.
Sorry, I meant New Year's babies. I knew it was one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm trying to get us off of this page, but I can't figure out. What the fuck is a blab school?
I don't know. Let's find out. Fuck it.
See, also, blab school. Blab school or ABC school or old time school was a type of children's primary school in North America. Outdated and obsolete. Great. Fucking great since the 20th century.
So, no Lisa Frank no binders Lisa Frank here.
Look at that log cabin.
Is this just saying, like, the schoolhouse, like the, like, Little House on the Prairie type schoolhouse?
Yeah, that kind of schoolhouse.
All the kids from the local fucking
settlement
were learning the same things all the time.
Yep.
Over and over
again. Learning their ABCs every single day.
That's something, yeah. Like, how was progression handled?
Like, I don't know, I've always wondered that. They still have those schools, you know, in rural areas.
Really?
Not log cabin schools necessarily, but schools where they have like 10 children and all different ages.
What's the name of that town that I visited in Washington? Someone in my year in college grew up in this rural ass Washington town that if you go to where they filmed Twin Peaks, by the way, listen to my other podcast where I talk about Twin Peaks with my friend Ashley. But if you go to that town, it's, like, built up now. It's, like, on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, like, it's not as small as you'd expect the place where they filmed parts of Twin Peaks to be.
Uh-huh.
But this town was. And the prime illustration of that was that this guy, Jake, he drove... us to the school that he went to,
mm-hmm.
and illustrated that when you enter the parking lot, like the parking lot is like a single loop,
mm-hmm.
one entry, one exit, just loop around an oval. When you enter the parking lot, to your right is the elementary school, and mm-hmm. then you pull forward like 30, 40 feet, and it's the middle school, and then you pull around the loop, and it's the high school.
One loop, all the
schools. And then you leave.
Yeah.
That's it. It was like the size of, I went to a school with maximum enrollment, I think, of like 400 kids.
Uh-huh. And
that was 7th through 12th grade. And we had it, our school was in what used to be a elementary school for handicapped children.
Uh-huh.
Which meant two things. One, all of the water fountains in the school were not even at child height. They were at wheelchair height. Yes. Two,
they didn't change that?
No, they never did. My brother went to the same school, and when they moved in that building, they're like, yep, we're gonna like, right. and we know it's elementary school.
They never did. Yeah.
They knocked down that building. That building doesn't exist anymore, and then they just built a new building instead. But the other thing was that there was a pool underneath the stage, because that was the therapy pool. Mm. It was just like cool. Little factoid.
Did you get to swim in it?
No. It wasn't like it was still in use as a swimming pool. Instead it was just the fucking stage.
Skate park?
Like a bowl pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Tony Hawk's just going to show up and drop in.
Yeah.
Do a sick 900 out
boys
of our...
Boys of Dogtown.
Out of our formerly therapy pool?
Yeah.
No. I assume it was just a pool-ass pool.
So it wasn't actually there by the time you were there.
It wasn't like it was filled in. Like, what I was always hoping was that someone cooler than me would, like, lift up the floorboards of the stage to open up this, like, pool, and then it'd be a bit, like...
Kids probably did that. People probably worked down there all the time. They probably did coke down there.
I don't think there's a way you can get down there.
Lifting up the floorboards.
I'm sure the
those theater kids.
Those
kids that did the theater tech stuff.
Have we talked about theater kids on this podcast?
I don't think so.
Were you a theater kid?
No.
I wasn't a theater kid either. Theater kids, though, universally, right? In high school?
Go on, say what you're going to say.
They're the most promiscuous kids.
Yeah, I would say in general, except for I had some friends that were theater kids, and for some reason in my class year, a bunch of the theater kids were just huge dweebs. Huge dweebs.
But I'm saying, like, they can be dweebs, and that doesn't...
Yeah, but I don't think they were, though.
You don't think they were...
I don't think these particular kids that I'm thinking of were.
Because it only started to dawn on me towards the end of my time in high school.
Yeah.
And then I went to college, and the number of times someone has confidently offered me a back rub.
Yeah.
And then I've asked, were you a theater kid?
And they're
just like, as they're like getting all up in my bod.
Yeah.
Just like on a whim, they're like, oh yeah, how did you know? And I'm just like, because only the theater kids... like, left all those boundaries about, like, touching, like, at the door at age 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, like, I'm envious if I think it's weird.
Little column A, little column B,
I think is where I fall. Yeah.
So how are we doing on time?
We got about 10 minutes to try and get to Lisa Frank.
So do you
want to,
I mean, this is obviously a fucking dead end.
Yeah.
So... what do we want to do?
Now I'm just thinking about how long it's been since I had a back rub.
Appalachian region. Wooden switch or paddle.
I definitely don't want to go to an article about corporal punishment.
I don't know. There was nothing about school supplies on any of the school pages.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
We could loop back.
Okay.
You don't want to loop back?
I don't want to stoop
to
that
looping,
low.
To looping back?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
so clearly, we're gonna click on Old English.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Old English.
All right.
And hopefully, we'll get to the 40 brand Old English.
This is never gonna work.
I don't know. There were some kind of like runic forms on at least. No, they weren't.
Yeah, there never were.
What if, like, Christ. What if, like, Lisa Frank things were, like, loaded with, like, Illuminati iconography, though?
Yeah, I can see that.
Think about that world.
I can definitely see that.
or, like, a My Little Pony that it's, like, horse butt stamp was just, like, the was all-seeing eye.
A rune, yeah.
Or, like, an Ankh or something.
Uh-huh. That'd be hip.
That'd be pretty hip. I bet those exist.
That's the kind of thing that you could put on a My Little Pony and just be like, oh, it's just like, he's a goth pony. It doesn't mean anything.
All those things exist like on DeviantArt out there.
It's like,
today.
It's an Illuminati thing.
Illuminati confirm. Yeah. Hey, you're a linguist.
Yeah,
you what can... do you know off the top of your dome about Old English?
Oh, absolutely nothing.
Oh, damn it.
Sorry.
That's kind of why I picked it, because I was like,
I know that, some fun no, I really know nothing. Contribute. I never took any, history of language. I know there was a great vowel shift, but I don't know what the shift was. I couldn't describe it to you.
A great vowel shift, you say?
All the vowels just stretched around.
Well, I can tell you that quite recently, I had a great vowel shift.
Ew. Jesus Christ.
It's a poop joke.
I'm going to click on English language.
Okay, fine. You just want to change the subject so hard.
I want to get out of this language, get out of this conversation.
You want to get out of this podcast, it feels like.
Superpower.
Superpower?
Great vowel shift. There
generally?
Just like I told you.
Yeah, okay. All right, fine. Great vowel shift. What of it? Are you making an honest effort to, like, quick jump pages to get us to Lisa Frank?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to do that.
Okay, then I leave it to you. Pick the next link as well.
You want me to just, go my own way now?
Well, so long as you want to keep up the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk. You'll probably talk more than I do. If you're gonna
this must
this
be the podcast where they talk about the act of doing the podcast more than any other.
Yeah, except for the charcoal testing one, where they talk about lighting and I don't know.
You
what
thought
else,
this was a good callback is. Bit? it just petered out actually, so fast.
Yeah, there's actually not much to that, huh?
Sounds like it's not a great idea for a podcast, frankly.
All right, you just wait and see. You just wait and see. That's all I have to say.
Again, you just dropped it.
People love
you
barbecue.
You just dropped whatever momentum you wanted to have.
Yeah, there was never any momentum.
Okay. Click on something. Don't
I'm
click on something.
On
tell me a factoid about English that you know.
I'm working on a factoid about English. Do you know what English's closest living relative is?
German?
Nope.
What is it?
It's a language called Frisian.
Frisian?
I think it's the Netherlands where they speak that, like a certain region of the Netherlands. There's also a horse called a Frisian horse.
Huh.
Really majestic.
So, if I were to hear someone speaking Frisian,
mm-hmm.
would I be able to sort of follow along?
You know,
would it
I don't
sound
know about,
similar?
I don't know about that. I don't know much that much about it.
Oh, okay.
I suspect,
so you just know
I
that
suspect
one
probably not.
Okay.
Because English has a lot of the lexicon of English is not Germanic in origin.
Okay.
So you might be able to get like words here and there, but
otherwise,
my guess
would be
probably not.
Shit out of luck. Okay.
I'm currently on looking at visual art of the United Kingdom.
This is... wait, when did you click to that?
I clicked to United Kingdom.
Okay, so we've had both the U.S. and the United Kingdom, because that's going to get us closer to Lisa Frank.
Well, you didn't want to backpedal, so I figured I'll go to another country where they have education.
Oh, God. See, this effort that you're putting in here, we could just keep talking about things.
Yeah,
and not try
yeah.
to get to that, because we
I'm
know we're not going
to
get
to
that.
I'm trying to do the fucking podcast, you know?
Let's be honest with ourselves here.
Yeah.
Is the quality determined by the effort
Whether
we put
get,
in?
By the effort we put into it? Yeah.
Getting there? No, the effort we put into being entertaining.
Well, what else do you want
it's
to talk about?
A real existential crisis for this podcast right now.
What else would you like to talk about?
How are you doing?
You know, I've nothing's new since the last episode, I think.
No?
No, I don't think so. Is there? I don't know. I forget what I tell you versus the podcast versus other people.
You keep things from me? You keeping secrets?
Only certain...
Caitlin, are you keeping secrets?
Pokemon-related secrets.
I don't know. When did you click on grammar?
You're not... I'm the only one trying to get to this. You know, you don't even have to write this stuff down if you don't want to.
Fine. But also, I say we should... Was this the only other thing you clicked?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With 10 steps taken.
Okay.
Getting us to...
I don't know why there's... Like, why did none of the grammar school pages link to fucking Peachy folder?
Because why would it? Like, I don't know if that's a reasonable expectation.
That's a crucial piece of the grammar school experience.
Every school...
That's not every... It's on every school supply
petition
list.
To change Wikipedia school pages to saying, hey, here's what you need to be at this school.
We don't have
typically.
To... We don't have... Yeah, I mean, we don't have to petition Wikipedia to do that. We can change this ourselves if we want to. That's how Wikipedia works.
That's true.
It's our encyclopedia.
But I feel like the moment we start to reshape Wikipedia to aid in our activities is when, like, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could just click edit and then make a link like / Lisa Frank or whatever the fucking wiki code is.
Here's a quick speed hack for your Wikipedia game playing. Just edit the article to link to what you need.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Let's not do that, though.
Have you ever heard of this thing, Old Deluder Satan Law?
No.
Do you know what that might mean?
Okay, click on it. Jesus. This goes to Massachusetts school laws.
God damn it. I want that one law.
I'm sure we'll be able to find it.
Oh, here we go. Ye Old Deluder Satan. The Puritans sought to create a literate population to ensure that, as the law put it, ye old eluder Satan could not use illiteracy to keep men from the knowledge of ye scriptures.
And with that...
that it?
With that strong argument for literacy, we'll close the podcast.
That's what Lisa Frank is really all about, if you think about it. It's literacy.
Or is the iconography of Lisa Frank...
About Satan.
The old deluder Satan invading your classroom.
Well, Satan figured it out. He figured out that he needed to invade. He had to invade.
Not
literacy.
Via the books or via the lack of ability to read said books, but just by some sick unicorns on space backgrounds. I am Matthew Olson. You can find me on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. Spell it right.
He means to spell it with one T. He stopped spelling it because I don't know why.
I got tired of it. At this point, anybody should know.
I'm Caitlin Best. You can tweet at me at BestKBest. BestKBest?
Yes.
Never really figured out the best pronunciation of my Twitter handle.
Hey, you should use the hashtag, #CYGTT. It's short for Can You Get To That. You can find us on Simplecast. You probably do. Or maybe subscribe on iTunes. And if you don't, but you're interested in doing it, do it. It'd be great.
Give us
It'd
a review. Awesome.
Do we even have any reviews? I haven't checked.
I think we have one. I think Marby gave us one.
Oh, hey, Marv.
You should also suggest topics to us. You should tweet those at us.
Yeah, that's why we say the Twitter names.
Yeah, but specifically, tweet that.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you enjoy our opening and closing theme, which is just an old MIDI that
some
used
noise,
to be...
Some computer noises.
That used to be included with Windows, but you think that maybe we should choose something else? Open to suggestions on that, too.
Or you could write us a theme song.
Ooh. Think about that.
All right.
Think about that and tune in next week. Bye-bye. Say goodbye, Caitlin.
See you later.